Welcome to Healing the World Through Music podcast. I'm Sherry Gross, bringing you conversations, experiences, and explorations on healing music and music for healing. You can find information on healing music events, tours, and trainings, as well as free gifts, music downloads, and all kinds of resources on music for healing at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Find yourself in a comfy spot and settle in because it's going to be an amazing episode. Thanks for listening. Today's interview is with Jack City Blues Band. Jack City Blues Band is based in San Diego, California, and fronted by Jack Naughton and Sandy Naughton. Jack City Blues Band's unique musical style, best described as B.B. King meets Bob Wills, incorporates jump, blues, and western swing into an exciting sound that makes it difficult to sit still and not move your feet. Like a classic rock song states, you can't sit down. The desire of Jack City Blues Band is to touch people's lives and make them happy through their music. They are a multi-award winning band, collecting awards at the local, state, and national levels. Once known as the popular country, blues, and western swing band, Grand Central Station, the band competed with 42 states, winning Band of the Year honors for the Country Music Associations of America at an awards ceremony in Las Vegas, Nevada. Other awards received by the band members are Entertainer of the Year, Vocalist of the Year, Lead Guitarist, Keyboardist, and Bassist. Two of the band members are recent Swing Hall of Fame inductees who were honored for their musicianship and for their significant contributions, dedication, and commitment to the preservation and promotion of Western swing music. These two same band members were approached by Creedence Clearwater producer Russ Gary. This meeting led to an original recording project at the House of Blues Studios in Los Angeles, where hit albums from such artists as Stevie Ray Vaughan, Keb Moe, The Wallflowers, among many others, have been recorded. In addition to this, Tom Knox, record producer for the 70s rock group Toto, Ray Stevens, and Cher, came out of retirement because he had an interest in producing the band. And with that marvelous introduction, I am so happy to welcome to our call today Jack and Sandy Naughton of the Jack City Blues Band.
Let your hair down, baby. Let's have a natural ball. Let your hair down, baby. Let's have a natural ball. If you don't let your hair down, we can't have no fun at all.
Both of you to answer. You probably have different answers for this. How did you first realize the power of music, and especially the healing power of music?
I have to say, since we've had the band, we've always tried to play uplifting music. And if the reaction that people get, I remember years ago we used to close every night with "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" real upbeat, and people just responded so much to that.
Well, music is a real healing aid for a lot of things, really, healing the mind of sadness, which can lead to physical healings, too. It's really quite a thing. I mean, I've been playing music for, well, ever since I was, what, 12, 13 years old, and the reaction I get from people, it's kind of strange, because in all those years of playing, I have never been booed once, and it amazes me. In all the different bands that I've worked in, you can see reaction in people's faces when you're giving yourself to the people. You're not just playing music to play music. You're playing music to touch people, to give them a sense of belonging, a sense of they're part of your band now. They're actually part of the music, and you include them in this. It's a mental thing, like mental telepathy. People just, they react, they know how you feel, they can tell how you feel when you're playing. If you're having a down day and your mouth is, your chin is down to your belly button, people notice that, and they say, he's got, what's this problem? Well, they're not being very happy then, are they?
But we always believe if you love your audience, they'll love you back. I think that's it. Like Jack says, reaching out and making them part of the band. Kind of as a unit, you know.
Yeah, your audience is you. So you have one entity there. You as a player, a musician, a music healer, if you want to call it, and an audience as a participant is like a preacher in church, you know. The preacher's talking about this and talking about that and how you can be healed and how you can get over tragedies and this and that type thing. Well, music generally is the same way, the same reaction. It just is. It's how you feel and how you come across to the people. If you feel great and joyful inside and you're playing happy music, it doesn't even matter if you make a mistake. People don't care. They don't even listen to that mistake. Nobody walks away and says, boy, he sure played a lot of sour notes there. You know? The general reaction is, they're really a good band. I felt, well, for instance, when we played at Gillespie Field just not too long ago, what did that one guy say to you about how we were a comfort to him?
Yeah, he said, I felt comforted by you. He said, I am so uplifted, so I know we must be doing our job right.
This is coming from a total stranger that we don't know, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
Your question.
Yeah, it's great. I love that. Yeah, and I like what Jack said and what Sandy reiterated about the audience, that they become a part of the band, and that whole kind of experience is like sort of the key to what makes music healing somehow, that people can get on the same page, or somehow it helps them to forget about other things that happened before or that they might have been thinking or worrying about, you know, and sort of bring people into the present moment where they can be there and just experience that. I'm wondering about, you said a lot, you know, with those responses that you gave, and I think, you know, I would want to know more of any kind of specific incidents that other times might have happened, where I remember one time you told about the person who was in either in a wheelchair or couldn't really walk or dance, and they had, you know, someone afterwards said that you got them up and hadn't seen them do that in years, or maybe if you could tell about that again and any other memorable times you had people respond to your music like that.
That was a time when I guess we were playing at
a VFW club
that we were playing.
A man, when we started playing, there was a elderly man in a wheelchair.
Had a sour look down and out, man.
He looked so unhappy. Yeah.
World was over, man. I don't even want to be here. That attitude, you know.
Yeah.
Daughter, take me home, man.
Yeah, his daughter had brought him. And then about, I guess it was about the second set, all of a sudden, he takes his wheelchair and he wheels it out into the middle of the dance floor and just starts spinning around and laughing. And we thought it was kind of strange, but, you know, we thought at least he's enjoying the music. But the next day, the commander of VFW Post called us, and he said, I had to tell you that that man's daughter called me and said, whatever you do, you've got to hire that band back, because that's the first time in 30 years that my dad has been happy.
Wow.
Yeah. They just changed him completely, and he's just, he's still happy today, she said. So that kind of really, when that happened to us, yeah, we realized that that's what it's all about, is making people happy, and if he's happy, hopefully he'll be healed, you know.
Yeah, that's dramatic. I love that.
I've actually had people tell me, you know, I didn't even know I had a backache while I was here. I wasn't even thinking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The music was great. It was good. Your music was good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel good.
We used to go over, my dad just passed away a couple months ago at 91.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to hear that. That's great that he was 91, though. That's really nice.
Yeah, he had dementia. We would go over there. Of course, he liked the country songs, and Jack would play guitar. We'd sing to him, and it would, like, bring his memory back, and he was able to communicate better, and just see that with a lot of, even sometimes when we play with these older country bands, that people are so uplifted by the music. There's people out there in their 80s and 90s that are up dancing.
Sherry, you don't have to be the greatest musician in the world, but you have to have heart. And if you haven't got heart, I mean, I've been to concerts where I've heard the best musicians in the world play, and the concert was boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Technically, the person was great, but it didn't have no heart, didn't have no feeling. He was just playing. You have to have that certain panache about you that projects to people. They understand, and they hear what you're doing, and it makes them feel good, makes them feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the best piano player in the world. Never had a piano lesson in my life. But I play keyboards for two different country bands, and these people come up and tell me, you don't even need the band, Jack. We can just sit and listen and dance to you.
he gets a lot of reaction.
And I'm not a great piano player at all. If you asked me to read a sheet of music, I'd have to say, well, ha, ha, ha.
Wow.
Plays from his heart.
Well, yeah. I use my finger.
No, and I... Of course, we believe in a higher power, in God, and I think it's kind of letting him work through you. And I know that Jenny Lind, I guess she was a famous singer, and she said when she gets up to perform, she says, I sing straight out to God who gives me my voice.
Hmm.
And I think that kind of having that sense of love for people,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's hard in those bars, people.
Right.
But for the most part, people want to be uplifted.
Yeah.
Well, not to get away from this subject, but people are strange anyway. We'd be playing, and people would come up to the bandstand and say, you're too loud. Can you turn down a little bit? You guys are too loud. I'd say, oh, certainly, certainly. I'd go back to the table and sit down. I wouldn't touch a dial on my thing. I'd keep playing. On the break, I'd walk over to the table, and I'd say, was that better? Was that a little better for your ears? Oh, yeah, that was great. In a sense, that's sort of a healing thing, too.
I was just reading an article on the Internet. It was called How Music Heals the Sick, and it was written in October 1937.
Oh.
And doctors were saying that music improves vision. People with epilepsy, it controls the periodic spasms. And it said even one man refused a local anesthetic, and he played harmonica while the doctors removed a bullet from his thigh.
Oh, my gosh.
A prime example of healing is Mel Tillis. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's a country singer. He talked like,
yeah, he stuttered.
But when he opened his mouth to sing, he never stuttered a bit.
Huh.
His voice was as pure as anything, you know.
Only when he sang.
Hmm. Like you said about God singing through you or some other higher power that was coming through him, and he was the vehicle for that somehow. Or there was something different him at that time, or coming through him.
Yeah.
Like a higher power or a way to different part that was being expressed of him.
I also read a story about a very elderly man that he could hardly walk, could hardly move his legs. He performed every night. He danced. And when that music started, he went in another world and he just danced. So when the music ended, he could hardly walk and hobbled back to his room.
Without a doubt, music does have a lot of healing qualities to it. You know?
Yeah.
Whether you believe it comes from God or from Buddha or from any other kind of belief, it does have a healing. I see it all the time. I see people's moods, nasty, rotten people with nasty, rotten tempers. All of a sudden, they're smiling and having a good time, not even swearing.
Yeah.
I see it all the time when I'm playing.
Yeah.
We end up playing these dumps. We play nice places, but I'll play in a dump, too. I don't care, because people are still people.
Yeah. They probably need it more when you're playing in the dumpy place.
I believe that music should be brought to everybody, you know? Whether it's blues, jazz, rock, country, funk. It's still music, you know? And it still comes from the depths of your heart, you know? And that's what you portray to the people, and then they give you the same love back.
I was at a company this morning talking to the human resources manager about some programs, you know, to bring on site for employees with music for employee wellness. And she really got it. And she said, I know how music can be healing, because she told me she used to work for a trauma center in Los Angeles back in the 80s before there were computers and things, and she would have doctors call her, like, during the graveyard shift, you know, like, doctors who hadn't slept for 36 hours, super stressed and wanting to get their results for their patients, and really, like, yelling at her on the phone, like, really rude and mean and yelling. And she said, what I would do is I would say, okay, can you hold on just a moment? And she said, I would put the phone down so that the receiver was by the radio, and she said, I would have this, like, jazz playing, like kind of a real, you know, mellow, smooth kind of jazz. And she said, I would just put the receiver there for like 15 seconds. And then, so they could hear it. And then I would lift up the receiver and I would say, you know, thank you for holding. And she said, and they would be a completely different person. They would be calm and like, nice.
I'm saying that proves it right there. I remember years ago we played at a retirement home. And boy, when we came in there, the people were just kind of sitting in their chairs, looking at the floor. They weren't animated at all. But you remember that we did with Mark, Jack?
Yeah.
And boy, by the end of the night, they were up clapping and dancing around.
I was thinking, oh boy, what are we going to do?
Boy.
But I just did what I do.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be very well, you know. People did enjoy it and ask us back.
Yeah, it's great. And so you must also feel the benefits from the music. I mean, when you're playing, is there some kind of reaction that kicks in when you start to play that wasn't there before you start the first set?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and sometimes you can be tired, especially after setting up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jack is always the one that gets a second wind or something, he kicks in, and the whole band kicks in, you know? I don't know what it is, but he seems to have this spirited energy, you know, when he... So, yeah, music uplifts us, too.
After playing 10 or 15 songs, you should be just totally exhausted, because during those 10 or 15 songs, you're giving out all the energy that your body can handle. You're really putting out everything that you can, and it does exhaust you. When you're just standing up there playing, you're playing notes. You're not really playing music. For instance, B.B. King, one of the most simplest guitar players around, but he has so much feeling in every note he plays. You can tell who's playing guitar from the first note he hits. And that's because it's coming from his heart. It's not coming from a chart or a sheet of music or anything else. It's coming from his insides. And he's throwing his insides out to the people he plays for. And they're throwing their insides right back at him,
Right. Because he's able to open up something in them that helps them to...
It helps them get over certain things. I've lived, and I'm sure a lot of other musicians have, and you've probably heard it before, but I've played for people that were so down in the dumps, they're getting close to suicidal tendencies. And then, boy, you sure made me feel good. You know, I just got divorced and all this other type of thing happened, but I wasn't even thinking about it when you guys were playing.
Yeah.
The qualities are there in all facets of the way that things go. The healing powers are there. And I mean, it doesn't mean you raise somebody from the dead. That would be kind of interesting. You know?
Yeah.
Just set up on stage.
Years ago, we went down to Nashville. Oh, this was probably 15 years ago. And the band that was playing asked Jack to sit in. And there was an old piano up there on stage. And the band was, they were kind of playing, but it was kind of laid back. And they had a whole packed house. And I didn't know where Jack went. I guess I'd gone off to get something to eat or something. But pretty soon, I hear this piano playing. And I look up there, and there's blood flying off these piano keys. Well, the keys were all chipped and broken, and Jack's fingers were bleeding, but he was enjoying himself so much, and the people were so into it.
I didn't even know I cut myself.
But there's blood going everywhere.
That was weird. That was strange. I didn't even know I cut myself.
Wow.
You know, the song was over, and I looked at my hands, and I'm, holy mackerel, that happened.
So even for a musician, you can get involved in it, you know?
Wow, but, yeah.
Well, a lot of the keys, this was an old piano. It was an old bar, honky-tonky piano in real ivory keys, but a lot of them were chipped. You know what the piano trill is, don't you? When you run your fingers across a lot of keys to get a type sound.
Yeah.
When I would do that, I would evidently start hitting all those chip keys, and they were sharp, and they just cut your fingers.
Oh, wow.
I never even felt it. I just was playing, having a good old time.
Wow.
That is, somebody came up and asked us if we wanted to be on a live radio show and be interviewed the next night.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah, so it was fun.
That was in Nashville?
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh, that's a memorable time.
Actually, we played at the Long Hauler Jamboree. It's Bill Monroe's old place.
Hmm.
A lot of famous people go there and play and sit in.
And people go there to have a good time. There's no drinking allowed.
No drinking.
Uh-uh.
Oh, wow.
So it shows you people can have a good time without having to get...
They got great food. They have great food and soft drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
Uh-huh. How fun.
No booze. No booze or smoking.
Yeah.
What's the place called?
Long Hollow Jamboree.
Oh. Like the Country Bear Jamboree at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is an actual big club that Bill Monroe used to frequent all the time.
Yeah. It's in, I think, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, right outside of
Tennessee. Oh, sounds fun. When you're playing, do you have any certain intention before and during your performance? Is there some kind of thought that you give to that, or do things just happen?
I always pray and to know that God is all harmonious, and that he's love, and that the audience will respond, and that we'll do a good job, you know, that he's in control, not us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he governs everything, and he fills all space, so we're all included in that space, all good. And that's kind of how I think, and so I try to do prayer before we go out and play.
Sandy's a little different than me. I'm a little more of an intense person, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times I always expect the worst, you know, because if the worst happens, then I don't feel so bad.
Well, I have to pray to keep him calm.
Yeah, so what do you do, Jack?
Pardon?
What do you do before you perform? I mean...
Usually I go off by myself. Hmm. And I have my guitar with me, and I practice, warm up, practice, and try to remember the words of the song.
We haven't conquered that yet.
Well, I'm always thinking about how I'm going to open this show, because the old saying is you never get a second chance to make a first impression, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So your opening show has got to be primo, dynamite, on target, and heartfelt.
Mm.
So, and the same way with the end of your show, the end of whatever you're playing, it's got to be a certain... You wouldn't end the song with Volga Boat Man or something. Da 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 da. I'm always thinking about what my shows are going to be like and how am I going to come across, you know, with people. And I like Sandy. I take a few silent moments to myself and usually give thanks for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm here, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Use me. That's what it kind of is. Just use me. How can I be a blessing today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I guess you do have a rough idea of the, or you'll have a set list in advance and maybe modify that depending on the people there, or do you just kind of go without a agenda and see how it needs to unfold?
I try to stick with the set list only because I'm pretty sure it works. It's going to work. Because I carefully plan it. The only time I'll break away from the set list maybe and switch and do something else if I feel something isn't right there. The audience isn't quite getting it. Somebody comes up and has a request. Generally, I try to stay away from requests because I'll announce the band and say who we are. And one of the first things I'll say after introducing each person, I'll say, and if you have any requests, you can... Please come up and tell us about it. We won't play them anyway, but you can come up and tell us.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill, huh?
And I would say 95% of the time, nobody comes up and requests anything.
Everybody wants Johnny Cash, no matter what kind of music you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
I played in the hardest rock clubs and stuff like this, and some young kid... 21 years old, come up and say, can you play some Johnny Cash?
Especially with blues, people think it's real downer music. Boy, I tell you, we've changed a lot of people's thoughts about blues because ours is upbeat, swing, and boogie. We had one young kid that our drummer was sick, and he sat in, and he said, oh, no, I wouldn't like the blues. But he says, boy, you sure changed my mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the quality of the music, too. It's what's pleasant to their ears. I've seen so many bands that are just, they're up there like, well, look at me play, and I'm good. And like our drummer, he was with a band, and he said they were so much into themselves that they couldn't give.
They couldn't relate to an audience.
No.
They were into themselves more than anything.
And you can't be in this business.
You can't be. You have to be into your audience, man. If you want a job, if you still want to play, like you say, we talk about healing powers of music. If you're into yourself, you're not helping anybody, you know.
Right.
You're not helping yourself.
When we got booked in Hennessy's, and it was kind of a fluke they had advertised, we went in there just as a trio, and boy, at the end of the night, the bar manager said, geez, he says, Shukai's are just fantastic. He says, I want to put you next door in my speakeasy. He was just thrilled with the band.
And your new music, too. I really like your original songs. I mean, they're so catchy, and it's just amazing how good they sound. I love the words and the music.
We're just having the albums put together.
Well, I really appreciate you both taking the time to talk to me today and to share your experiences and your thoughts. I think it's really nice what you've said.
Appreciate you including us. We always enjoyed working with you, and I hope we'll get to work together again sometime.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you. I'm just following the signs. Sometimes I feel like I know my work is healing the world through music, and it's a little bit trial and error to figure out how I'm supposed to do that. You know how with you guys, it's kind of, you already know you're supposed to play the music, and I don't have that clear-cut picture of what I'm supposed to do, so the things that don't work, you know what I mean, I kind of stop doing them and move to the thing where I'm feeling the energy come through and where I get guided and inspired to do things, and so it's still putting it all together, and it's not a clear-cut picture like I'm going to pick up an instrument and get on the stage and play, so it's a little more, a little tricky.
Have a clear cut. You know, we tried to play so many different kinds of music and finally, just these past couple years, we've just kind of focused in and, you know, and it's come together. But I always just try to get real quiet and just kind of listen and see what the man upstairs has going and just ask him, how can I be a blessing today? How can I bring my talents to the public? And you usually get some kind of answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got such a good thing going here, and I just know that there's a good direction. I just think this is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, thank you. I get inspired listening to you guys and share your experience and your things that you've done, and I feel like the whole putting this together into the ebook will be really cool. I get excited talking to you and interviewing the people that I've talked to about it.
Oh, sure. Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Sandy, and you, Jack. Thank you for all of your insights. And
my pleasure.
I think it's you guys are doing a great job out there, and I hope you get to play in front of lots more people, because I know you're definitely making a difference for people, and that's really great.
Thanks,
hey, Jack,
so much, Jerry.
Sandy. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you both.
You
okay.
Bye.
Bye. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today and listening to this episode of Healing the World Through Music. Do check our website for your free tools on healing music and music for healing, including your own healing music blueprint, which is a new exciting offering that you'll find at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Thank you.